Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and could I join with Fergus in welcoming all the first-time visitors here to Belfast. We're delighted to see you, and I'm quite sure that we'll have a very productive day. Obviously, that we're delighted that the Impact for Higher Education Institutions on Regional Economies Initiative, IMPACT, is holding this conference. I mean, in this sector, we do acronyms well. I came into this office almost near 2 years ago now, and I think you could actually deliver a speech without saying a word. But there we are. I suppose it's one of those things one has to do in life. So I'd like to begin by thanking the key funders of the Impact Initiative, which include the other UK HE funding councils and the Economic and Social Research Council. My own department also contributes to this Impact Initiative, and I would also particularly like to welcome the coordinators of the initiative, Ursula Kelly and Peter McGregor, for the initiative to speak at this important event. For those of you visiting us here today, I'd like to welcome you, of course, to Northern Ireland, and it is certainly a privilege to be invited to speak to you all. I note that the title of today's conference is about the role of higher education and the difference it makes to economies and communities. In Northern Ireland, of course, I'm pleased to say that higher education makes a huge difference on many levels, from raising the aspirations of our young people, equipping them for the world of work, building the Northern Ireland skills base, being at the forefront of innovation and research, right through to the cultural and social value that universities undoubtedly deliver. I'm delighted to say that higher education in Northern Ireland is in a strong position. In 2006-2007, our vibrant HE sector collectively recruited just over 50,000 enrolments. These, in financial terms, our institutions contributed significantly to our social economy through the generation of skills, employment, research, and associated activities. As part of the 2008 UK-wide research assessment exercise completed there before Christmas, both of our universities performed extremely well, with the results confirming that research undertaken by Queen's University, Belfast, and the University of Ulster is of world-class quality. 87% of all research activity submitted by our institutions was considered to be of international quality, and 14% was judged to be world-leading. I don't think any of us are in any doubt as to the importance education plays in the lives of individuals in society, and indeed in the wider economy, especially in the current economic climate and the unprecedented challenges that we all now have to face. But with those challenges comes an even greater emphasis upon education, skills, research, and innovation as we build for the future. And it's that emphasis that I want to address today. The global economy has experienced significant turmoil over the last number of months. The sharp rise in energy and food prices earlier last year, although now abating, the downturn in property markets and the increased cost of borrowing caused by the credit crunch have all combined to create difficult global economic conditions. Northern Ireland is not immune to those conditions. The Northern Ireland labour market is feeling the effects of the adverse economic conditions too. Latest figures show that the Northern Ireland claimant count has increased by 10,000 over the last 6 months. Economic forecasts for the UK and Northern Ireland economies have become increasingly downbeat. While there is a lack of consensus between forecasters about the depth of duration of the current downturn, and I'll hardly be shocking you when I repeat the point, there is a lack of consensus between forecasters, but I guess that's the way it is. There is agreement that growth will return. Well, let's hope we're right. What we do now in terms of our investment in skills will determine how well placed the Northern Ireland economy is to benefit from that recovery once it arrives. And that's the serious point I think we want to focus on. With that in mind, the development of a flexible, innovative and forward-looking workforce has never been more important. It is that type of workforce which my department aims to achieve through its success through skills strategy and working in partnership with other key players. My department has recently introduced new measures as we attempt to counteract the economic downturn. We have, for example, introduced contingency arrangements for apprentices in key areas such as construction, engineering, and the motor vehicle sector, which have been particularly badly hit. Our aim here has been to protect the apprentices in the sense that the qualifications that they were achieving will not be squandered and lost if they are made redundant partway through. And we've tried to develop initiatives such as foster employers, simulated work environments, and other measures to ensure that they can at least finish a qualification rather than have maybe 18 months of their lives wasted with no outturn. I believe that it's imperative that despite the economic challenges, we also continue to invest in the skills of those people already in the workforce so that we are in a stronger position when the economy returns. I think that's just common sense. That's why the department continues to encourage companies to invest in training. Easy to say, but training and maintenance budgets are quite often the first to be cut in a downturn, and having had some experience of this myself in business, it's easy to talk the talk, but it is much more difficult if the bank manager is breathing down your neck on a Friday when you're paying the wages. So we certainly would encourage them, and I deeply regret that in the pre-budget report, the Chancellor didn't take the opportunity to offer tax credits to companies to spend money on training, to give them an incentive to do so. I thought that might have been a better use of some of the money than simply allowing us to save £10 on buying an imported television or something, which is the effect of the VAT reduction, but greater views have prevailed. In taking forward the future growth of the economy, the role of research cannot be underestimated. In recent months, I've announced funding for 12 significant cross-border research projects and a further investment of over £17 million to develop and strengthen links between universities in Northern Ireland and in the Republic. I believe that these projects give the potential to generate real long-term gain. The likely job creation and foreign direct investment the projects will attract will benefit our economy both in the short and longer term. They will also create more opportunities for postgraduate research, something that many students ultimately aspire to. As some of you may also be aware, in 2008 I announced that my department would be increasing by 300 the number of PhD places at our local universities by 2010 as part of our commitment within our programme of government. The first tranche of those this year has been fully filled, and very pleased about that. For those making the important decisions about whether to go to university or not, the evidence base shows that higher qualifications do, on the whole, lead to higher levels of employment and better paid jobs. That's a fact. Throughout a career, those with an undergraduate degree level qualification will, on average, earn an additional lifetime earnings of approximately £160,000 compared to those with two or more A-levels. The media has recently covered the plight of new graduates being affected by a shrinking number of graduate entry-level jobs in the labour market. This is something we hear about quite frequently. But I believe higher education is an investment for life and for the future of the economy. And a highly educated workforce will be a valuable asset during the downturn and when the economic upturn comes. According to recent research on the UK graduate market, although it is clear that some companies are contracting their level of graduate vacancies, up to three quarters of recruiters throughout the United Kingdom are expecting their organisation to maintain or expand their graduate recruitment in 2010. I think we've got to take that with a bit of a pinch of salt because of the rapidly changing circumstances, but nevertheless the trend and the general direction is encouraging. According to, for the economy to prosper, we must ensure that we have a ready supply of highly skilled graduates equipped to fill the high value jobs we aim to attract. So what we're really talking about is investing in an asset which is a skill, and if somebody acquires that skill, that skill stays with them, albeit it maybe needs updating. But at least it is a valuable asset, and if we're spending money on that, during the dark days that we're experiencing, I think it is investment well directed. A regular occurrence, of course, is people talking about student fees, and nobody will be surprised in this room to hear about that. I know concerns have been expressed about the cost of higher education as a disincentive for those entering it for the first time. I think perhaps if people were exposed to the situation in the United States, for instance, and the costs involved there, I think it might shock people into realising the sort of scale that they are on in terms of their fees and their living costs. However, we are currently involved in a major review of that here in Northern Ireland, and I've received representations about the introduction of these fees. I'm aware that the concerns expressed, and that's why one of the first commitments I made was to conduct this review. I'm pleased to say that this review is now underway through the chairmanship of Joanne Stewart, who's the chair of the Institute of Directors here in Northern Ireland, and I'd like to thank Joanne for taking that on. Key to this review will be the development of a sound and independent evidence base. And I'm very pleased that my department has appointed a research fellow, Dr. Alexander Fajan, through the ESRC's placement scheme to undertake research and analysis to underpin the review, and she's already hard at work doing that. I'm grateful to the ESRC for facilitating the opportunity for my department to participate in the scheme, which will further strengthen our growing relationship in the areas of producing high quality, independent and relevant research. And the terms of reference for the review are broad and include an assessment of the impact of the current arrangements on all the relevant stakeholders. I'm confident that the review will contribute to policy in this area in the future. As we all know, a sound evidence base is at the very heart of good policy development, which is why I welcome the Impact Initiative. It sits closely with the ethos of my department's research strategy, whereby we aim to inform policy making with the assistance and expertise of the research community. Of course, as I've already alluded to, the higher education sector in Northern Ireland provides the economy with more than just highly skilled workforce. By commercialising university research and development activities through the formation of spin-out companies and licensing agreements, the sector has been able to transfer such activities to the world of commerce. The increases in the province's reputation and competitiveness in many areas. Developments such as these help to stimulate our economy and demonstrate that higher education can play its part in being responsive to business needs and making a positive impact in the workplace. I know that the company that Queen's University formed to conduct these spin-outs, which is called Cubus, has, I think, one of the largest number of people involved in working in companies that have arisen from its activities. I think there's about 1,000 jobs in Northern Ireland from that one alone. So developments such as these help to stimulate our economy and demonstrate that higher education can play its part in being responsive to business needs and making a positive impact. And I also have seen the development of a closer relationship between those conducting the research and the private sector. I've seen them actually come together and working from the very beginning, because perhaps in this country we're not as good as, say, in the United States at translating the ideas into business, real business opportunities. Perhaps there isn't the skill sets amongst the researchers, and why would there be necessarily, to conduct them in the sense of a business plan and how that is commercialised and how it is developed. But I've seen a new trend now where companies and the researchers are coming together at an early stage, and that provides the commercial aspect injects that into the whole scheme at a very early stage. And I think that that's a very healthy development and one which should reap benefits in the future. So the importance of science innovation to the economy and the role that the university research plays within it has long been recognised and has formed the basis of policy development worldwide for some time. So here, this imperative has been delivered, most particularly through the local innovation strategy, which has been instrumental in focusing government investment in R&D and innovation since 2003. In Northern Ireland, we've a long way to catch up on our R&D spend, and indeed in the UK, we've a long way to catch up with our nearest competitors in R&D. And when you consider the conveyor belt of graduates that are coming out of economies in the Far East, China, India, and so on, I think we have to realise that we're up against a huge amount of a huge challenge in the years ahead. And I think it was through our ability to have the good quality research and exploit that research that we have got to find a way of fine-tuning that and translating that into meaningful jobs in the future. So my department's investment in R&D and innovation translates into the provision of a substantial financial support for a range of initiatives. The primary knowledge transfer initiative is the Higher Education Innovation Fund, a UK-wide programme jointly funded in Northern Ireland by my department and InvestNI, which encourages the universities to increase their capability to respond to the needs of business and the wider community with a clear focus on the promotion of wealth creation. And I have to say there has been a dramatic change in the last decade in the attitude of universities to this sort of thing. Many years ago, if you went to universities and talked in these terms, they would say, go away, we don't do that sort of thing here. We are academics, we teach whatever people want to learn, we provide a rounded education, we're not selling ourselves with business, go away. Now, there's been a dramatic change, and we've been very fortunate in recent years here in Northern Ireland to have our two vice-chancellor very focused on this area of activity. And while there is, of course, that attitude still there, I have to say it's well down the pecking order now, and there is a realisation that there is a direct link between getting good quality research, getting that spin out, and getting the economic benefits of it. And the universities have been changing their tack very radically in recent years. And of course, they realise that they need funds from the private sector to succeed. And without the good quality research, they won't get the funds. And the RIE ratings, of course, are one measurement of that, which is why so many of the staff were returned in the research activities as researchers, very high percentages in some cases. So I think that indicates that they really are committed now, and I think they've crossed the Rubicon on that. I don't think we're going back to the way it used to be. Now, that's not to mean that a university should be totally focused on this. I don't think that myself. It is a place of learning, and there is a value in a good general broad education. But in this day and age, it has to have an edge, and that edge has to be research-driven. And I think that part of our problem is that we're producing a lot of graduates, but we're not necessarily producing the right mix to suit our economy at any particular point in time. So there's still gaps there, and we're still short of people, and maybe we're producing too many of one type and not enough of another. And I mean, this is inevitable. So that leads us into graduate conversion and all the rest of it, which we have to perform. I also think that there is insufficient linkages between universities and schools, because a lot of students coming up to university don't know what to expect. We have a very good program here, the University of Ulster run, I think it's called the Step Up campaign, and it engages with young people in school. And so far, it has had a 98% success rate in that it has reduced the dropouts dramatically. Now, it's quite intensive and quite expensive, but it certainly is. It shows that it can be done, and it's only a pilot at the moment, but nevertheless, I think there needs to be this continuum from the schools through universities and linked in with business. So through the HEIF, funding of £3 million per annum is provided to support the core activities of the two universities' outward-looking regional offices, and also a wide range of support services to companies, the voluntary sector and social enterprises. Allied to HEIF is a groundbreaking new programme called Connected. This initiative, which has grown from the recommendations of the Regional Innovation Strategy, as well as being in keeping with my department's own skills strategy, enables the province's universities and further education colleges to work together to identify and meet in a coordinated and holistic fashion the knowledge transfer needs of business and the wider community. A total of $3 million has been made available up to 2010 for this purpose, after which the department will look at making the funding stream permanent as per the Northern Ireland Executive's programme for government. I've seen this in action in the further education colleges where very substantial amounts of information can be accessed with a lot of research already prepared and done. So it avoids duplication, but it also gives huge reach into very important information from the further education sector as well as the higher. So in tandem with this, the department has also developed a new international research programme involving partners in both the Republic of Ireland, United States, which will support research proposals aimed at realising economic benefits in priorities areas agreed by the three governments. I think this came from an initiative in 2002 when we had a major economic conference held in Washington, D.C. And it does show that international cooperation certainly can be useful and beneficial, and I've no doubt that we need more of this. So it's clear that our university's capacity to deliver socially and economically relevant and knowledge transfer research projects is benefiting both local businesses and the wider community. Such third stream activities are firmly embedded in both universities' core missions and their corporate plans, something which we welcome. I'm confident that the benefit of this strategic work will continue to be realised by local society in the future, and both institutions will continue to grow their reputations for research excellence as a consequence. Because higher education plays such an important role in our economy, I feel we must continue to take a strategic approach in preparing for the challenges of the future. That's why I'm developing a higher education strategy in Northern Ireland in partnership with key stakeholders across the sector. We will be speaking to our stakeholders in the near future to plan the way forward. Their contribution will be vital in shaping the future of higher education here. So I'm sure everyone in this room recognises the culture and social and economic role universities play in society, and today's conference will provide a stimulating insight into the impact higher education institutions have on regional economies. We're a small place here with a relatively small population, but we do have, and higher education is playing a very significant role. We have achieved higher participation levels from people from socially disadvantaged backgrounds in university than any other part of the UK. Targets set by Gordon Brown just over a year ago, we have already met. So we both have a higher participation rate generally and a higher participation rate from those with socially challenging backgrounds. So we're quite pleased about that, and at least it's encouraging that we have maintained that despite the fact that as the economy tightens, this does place greater burdens on people in that situation. And of course, there's always the risk of higher dropout rates. So we're trying, both universities have schemes in place to try and address that. So I've no doubt that the universities are an engine of economic activity and growth as in their own right. They are very large businesses. I mean, the budget of my department, roughly half of it probably goes into, maybe more than half goes into higher education. And, you know, that's a lot of money. And therefore, the spin-outs from the universities, they're attracting money, obviously, through fees and through research. And, of course, there's a big push now for attracting foreign students. And that has been, we've always had a number here, but that is a growing area of activity. So one can see the potential that the universities have. So I hope, in conclusion, that you find the conference informative and that we can collectively utilise the findings produced by this initiative for our mutual benefit. So I hope you have a good day here, and I look forward to hearing the outcome of your work. Thank you.